Today I would like to present happiness and peace within ourselves, not looking at other people, just looking at ourselves for this peace and happiness. Life is not easy, and the confrontations that we have every day, bombarded left, right and center. Sometimes it's very tiring, sometimes it's very exhausting, and sometimes very frightful. Sometimes it's very frustrating and disappointing. Here we are, you know, trying to do the best we can, living our lives, doing what we can, good in our lives. Then there are people that talking about us in a negative way, and then it makes us feel very unhappy. No matter where you are, no matter what you do, whether you are good or bad, people will always talk. There's always something that they don't like about you, about us. There's always something there people manage to find to talk about. True or not, doesn't really matter, something to talk about. And this habit of people that, you know, spread these speeches that is not in a positive way about us, and then there's no opportunity at all to answer them. That's what gossips are. And Buddha said, if you do good things, people will also blame you. If you do bad things, people will blame you. Whatever you do, people will always criticize you. So not to worry about that, Buddha said. Just concentrate on cultivating goodness, purifying the mind. Do good things as much as you can. That's the encouragement from Buddha. So why do we don't look at other people? Why do we only concentrate on ourselves? Because the happiness and unhappiness doesn't come from other people. It only comes from other people if we allow it to happen, living by people's praises and blames, then it affects us. But if we realize the truth about life, then we start, you know, contemplating about it. Somebody say you got a big nose or big ears, then they only, you know, say it, but we say it again and again, over and over in our minds, and disappointed about it, because we got hurt by these negative remarks by other people. There are many suggestions that if people say you have a big nose, you go and look in the mirror. If you don't have a big nose, you don't worry about it. That is not bad, but in reality, we have to go a bit deeper. We have to understand the coming and goings of these feelings, emotions, mind moments. Where do they start? If we understand that, then it'll be like the water of the duck's back wouldn't stick, with deep understanding and wisdom. That in the deeper level, if you look at it, where do all these things start? By hearing, isn't it? You hear something. How do you hear it? To go deeper, you hear it with your physical ears. That is physical. Physical ears, and also elements, air elements. The frequencies that travel through all these conversations, vibrates in your ear, the element, air element, it has this motion, you know, characteristic, and from that you hear it and vibrates. So these motions through these elements, through these physical, you know, motions, that you hear it. So contemplate deeply on it with this physical, you know, ear. Then we hear it through this air element, right? That is physical. And hearing it, consciousness of the hearing, that you know that you have heard it, is mental. In Buddhism, it's called rupa and nama. Rupa is physical, the ear, the physical ear. The air elements, it's physical, coming and vibrating, motions. And then the mind, noting it, knowing it, consciousness of it, then that is the mind. So, nama in Pali. So, because of that, you hear it, combination of this physical and mental cognition. Through this combination, you hear it. And then, on that one, then again, mental builds up of emotion. Through the perceptions and the thoughts, mental formation, then you have these perceived things of liking, not liking, and then agreeing, not agreeing, happy, not happy, dejected, rejected, angry, anger, ill will, aversion, frustrations, all coming in. So this is a sequence in the deeper level. When somebody say positive or negative things, is the same. And then physically you see that person talking, and their facial mannerisms, tones, etc., how they act, how they behave, how their face looks like when they're talking there, you know, whether friendly, unfriendly, through the eyes you see it, that the eyes is the physical, actual thing that is part of the body. And through the lenses and reflections, etc., light, through this you see it. These are still physical. But through that seeing, this seeing consciousness is the mind. So everything in life is made up of this physical and mind combination, reaction, actions. That is how it is in operating in real sense. The physical recognition, as well as the mental note, you know, knowing that you're hearing something, you're seeing something, consciousness of them, itself has no harm in it. It only come harmful thoughts and emotions and feelings when we perceive them in a certain way, predetermined perceptions and the thoughts going through good and bad, and, you know, this is nice, this is bad, judgmental things, opinions, views. So when it comes through this process, then happiness, unhappiness arises. So if you see that process deeper, then what it is the mind and this body, you know, seeing things, hearing things, smelling things, touching things, thinking about things, that creates all these happiness and unhappiness, emotions and feelings. That's what Buddha is pointing out when we do the, insight meditation. When we go deeper, that's all it is. A person, man, woman, child, doesn't matter who they are, this mind and this body, through this interaction between the environment and this body and this mind, everything is happening. And if you understood this, then you don't look at other people anymore. You only look at yourself inside. What is the eye seeing now? What is the ears hearing now? What is the nose smelling now? What is the tongue tasting now? What is the body feeling now, the touching something? What is the mind thinking? You just watch yourself, because when you act and react through this body and through this mind, through cognitions, then depending on your skillfulness and wisdom that you apply to it, the happiness and unhappiness, it follows. So it is very important for everyone to see this process and to have this practice and develop this skill with wisdom to be able to see it through. When somebody is saying it, this body is acting, reacting, you know, through this consciousness, the mind and the body. Everything is mind and body, body and mind and body. Nothing more, nothing else. So if you see that your body, you look only at yourself when you hear something, you note it's hearing. That's physical process. And then now mental, note that, you know, I have formed a view, I have formed an opinion. Now I'm start getting happy because it's nice things to hear. They're praising me. Now I'm angry because they are criticizing me. They are blaming me. That process comes up. So when we hear nice things, we're happy. When we hear negative things, we are unhappy. So we create our own happiness and unhappiness in that way. Nobody is, you know, making us to do it. Yes, they are involved. They push the buttons, true. But if we have wisdom, if we have practice, we don't look at other people, what they say, what they do. We only look at ourselves, how we take it. This is applying deep wisdom and a deep contemplation of life, how things begin. And that's how things begin. Without wisdom, it is natural when you hear something not nice, when you see something not nice, then your mind reacts naturally with anger, frustration, disappointment, retaliation, revenge, ill will, aversion, so on and so forth. But when you start practicing and when you have this realization of how life is, how things begin, then you see that whole process and you're not following the natural action and reaction of the mind and body anymore. If there is something that you can mitigate, you mitigate it. If you can somehow turn it into a friendly way, turn it into a friendly way. And if it's something that is a very foolish person on the other side, Buddha said not to associate with the foolish people, then you walk away, you don't associate with them, you don't match with them, because it is not worth matching. So this is how you understood life, and only looking at yourself to find happiness and peace. Today, as I was driving, you know, the speed, and the car was at the back, coming closer and closer, so he's driving faster than me, so I changed lane, so that car can pass. And then I need to get here in time as well, so I need to do the speed as well, and you know, it takes me nearly 45 minutes to get here. And then I let him pass because he's driving faster. So when he passed, then I changed lane and follow him, because with my speed, and he was driving faster than me, so shouldn't be any problem. But then when the car was in the front, it slows down. Wouldn't do the speed anymore. So I slow down as well, and I let him know that I'm not, you know, really pushing him or anything, give him a good distance, and I followed. And then later on, that car changed lane to the other side, and then I was able to do the speed. So driving, you know, the speed limit, 100, and then that car was beside me, and he keep the speed like that. He wouldn't slow down or go fast, just keeping there. And later on, I realized that it's not normal anymore. It is something like, you know, he's putting me in a position that I can't change lane to that side. But I wasn't looking at him. I wasn't, you know, thinking about what he did, what he didn't do, what he did do. I was only concentrating myself. If he wants to drive faster than me, I'll slow down and let him go. But I'm doing the speed, and we are on a different lane. So I just concentrating on my side, keep going like that. No animosity, no feelings. It's neutral, you know, just going there. And then he keep on doing like that quite a while. And then he has to turn to the left. So he turned to the left and then he shoot off. So it doesn't affect me anything at all. But somehow this car has a, you know, a very disturbed by the fact that, you know, he was in the front and he, you know, can't drive slowly. And then I was at the back and he has to pull to the other lane so that I can drive the speed. But then he was following me quite fast, so I let him pass and drive his speed. He didn't drive. So these are the things. If I were looking at that person and saying, no, what he is doing, and then acting and reacting without understanding, then my mind won't be peaceful anymore. But I have a very peaceful drive. When he turn off, you know, I just look at him and, you know, that's it. You know, no feeling, nothing in my mind. So the same thing. If people are doing things that is trying to disturb your daily routine, your life in a negative way, in a, you know, verbally, physically, you know, you just concentrate on yourself. You don't have to worry about what they're saying, what they're doing. You keep doing it. What is good, what is a rightful thing to do, and then don't act or react in an angry way. Always be peaceful and, you know, calm. Then the rest is the actions speak for itself. People around will know that how you behave, how you are, how they behave, how they are, and they'll make their own judgment. So, of course, if it's become a very severe thing, there are a lot of mechanisms that you can do. You can somehow, you know, if you are being, you know, unfairly, verbally, you know, insulted or whatever, come to a point where you can't avoid anymore. You can have a complaint procedure, reporting systems, or telling a proper people, you know, etc. They, you know, we live in a lawful countries, so we can do these things. But even when we do these things, we're not doing it out of anger or hatred. We're doing it out of a necessity and a without anger and without hatred. So in any situation, no matter what happens, we just concentrate on ourselves, because this happiness and unhappiness is not coming from other people, even though the other people can push the buttons. We just concentrate on ourselves, understanding where it all started. Always remember that and always try and, you know, contemplate, practice, realize this, until you know that this is the mind, this is the body that is acting and reacting in an unskillful way. So to practice and to realize with wisdom, to do things in a skillful way, with wisdom, that is important. That's why we are practicing meditation and trying to listen to Buddha's words, because these are the tools and wisdom that he is trying to, you know, teach us, you know, trying to point the path to walk. So if we do it that way, you know, we may still affect because we are still, you know, not that enlightened yet, but we have a good chance of being able to live a reasonably happy life, peaceful existence. And the strength comes from the family and the good friends that you have. That's why Buddha said, associate with the good. And the family, with the family, you build up a relationship, respectful, helpful, caring, understanding. You know, then anything happens, the family is with you. That's how Buddhist families live. They support each other, you know, in a very caring and loving way, loving kindness way. So if we have to, practice this daily, as in when you're walking, roughly you know that your body is walking, and then you know that the mind knows that it is walking. That is the mind, that is the body. The distinction between the functions of the mind and the body, they are separate. It's called in Pali nama rupa paricheda jnana. That is the knowing the distinction between the this body and this mind, the different separate functions. If you are drinking, you know that you are drinking. Physically, you are holding it. That's a body part. The cups, physical things, the water elements there, you're drinking. Then you're just realizing it. And then when you drink it, taste it. That is the physical tongue, physically tasting it. Knowing that taste, the consciousness of the taste, is the mind. The separateness between this mind and this body, whatever you're doing. If you're working on the computer, you're physically, the hands are typing the keyboards are physical things, and then I physically looking and seeing things, what you saw, what the mind, you know, note, that is the mind. So this body and this mind, this is a practice, Buddha said, to note what you are knowing, what you are doing. If you're stretching, know that you are stretching. The body is stretching, the arms and the legs, etc. are stretching. And knowing that consciousness, the mind there, that is the mind part, knowing. So whatever you do, Buddha said, try and note this separateness of the mind and the body. Because if you don't see it, the separateness, separate functions of this mind and the body, they combine and become an ego. And that ego, believing in that ego, is the wrong view, false view. And that will not take us to any happy destination. It will only have frustrations, ill will, aversion, anger, hatred, and delusion. So to know this, where the ego comes from, this mind, this body, at every minute, every moment, whatever you're doing, knowing that this is the body doing, this is the mind part. You separate it. Buddha specifically, you know, asked people to note that. If you said walking, know that you're walking. If you're stretching, know that you're stretching. If you're drinking, know that you are drinking. If you're eating, know that you are eating. What is the eating process? The body, see the food, smell of the food, and then physically picking up spoon in the forks or knife in the forks, and then physically putting it into the food, and then putting it into the mouth, and then the tongue touch, and then tasting it, and then chewing part, chewing, and then, you know, swallowing part. And then knowing these tastes, carrying this fork into the mouth, and knowing all these processes, that is the mind, knowing. So see the separateness, and that's how Buddha has instructed for us to note to have this deep understanding of life, where things come from. Where do I start? That's where you start. Where happiness coming from? That's where it's coming from. Where is unhappiness coming from? That's where unhappiness is coming from. So the deeper you know, the deeper you understood. That's this. There's no theory or, you know, things to explain about it, of how you come deeply, you know, develop into some sort of wisdom. That you have to practice yourself. Nobody can teach you that. Only when you keep practicing, practicing and practicing, you know, diligently, then one day it clicked. And you come to realize the process. It's not personal. It's not personal. But it is like a, you know, a thing that can suck you in if you don't understand the process. You become very, you know, the ego become very big, and you just become very unhappy person through this ego. But if you understand that, where it's coming from, that's where your strength is, where your peace and happiness lies, where the balanced mind comes from. Maybe it's a bit dry subject, but this is what Buddha has taught. To keep looking, watching, noting what you're doing. Where is the mind part? Where is the body part? What are the elements? These elements of air, elements of water, elements of heat, elements of solidness. To know these things, that's how the body is made up of. Air, water, and then heat, you know, cool temperature, body temperature, etc. And then hardness, softness, the bones, etc. So that's what Buddha is pointing out. To look carefully, to watch carefully, and don't, you know, get into the trap of this ego. Only if you understood what the body part is, what are the elements, what is the mind, the separate functions, through these integrated, you know, interactions, then you have peace. You understood now. Then you don't fall into that trap anymore. So happiness doesn't come from what people do, what people say. It only comes from yourself. And I offer this to you today. Hope you can use it in your daily life. Any questions, please ask. Thank you.